And then there's another level that takes that basic understanding and gives you opportunities to be more creative. So taking nighttime photography, nighttime pictures, taking time-lapse photography, taking pictures of things super up close. They call that macro photography. So you go through the basics, you practice, you have a good understanding, and then you go on to the more advanced, where the real fun begins, and you can experiment and try different things. And I came away from the experience going through all the videos feeling like, okay, now I can make something happen. And I enjoy going out and trying some of the different things. And then when a period of time goes by where it's been a while since I've done an exposure of the moon, for instance, I'll go back to this video course. I know right where I can find it and refresh the information, and then I'm good to go. Everything is in one place. I don't have to fiddle around on the internet looking to find out about nighttime exposure and then get a whole bunch of hits and where do I go from there. And then maybe I want to do something for time-lapse photography. Everything in one place follows a nice flow to follow.
So you said there were special things in the advance. What kind of special things were there? I mean, I wouldn't even know what to think about to ask.
Sure. I have his website pulled up here and I'm looking at it. So some of the things, portraits, for instance, and I see you have a beautiful picture here. I'm looking at you here. Somebody took your portrait.
Right.
And there's a whole technique of how to take good portraits. So he covers that, gives kind of an overview of some of the important things about how you take somebody's portrait. Nighttime photography. He goes to downtown Seattle and takes some really, really cool pictures. You can't just do that. You can't just go down and put it on the automatic settings and say, okay, I want this picture. So things like nighttime photography, nature photography, landscape photography, so beautiful scenes of different venues and all of that. There is, again, up close, so when you see pictures of flowers or insects. There was one time after I looked at that, I went out the next morning when the sun had come up and the dew was on the grass, and I set the camera settings just right, and I took a picture of a blade of grass with a drop of dew on the end of it. And when you look at this picture, everything in the background is kind of blurry, but the picture of itself, the drop of water came out crystal clear, and you can see reflections of other blades of grass. It's just one of my favorite pictures. Again, never would have been able to.
So cool.
It just really is, because as I say, it's all available to you if you know how to use your camera. And by going through that course, he shows you those basics. And then with the more advanced kinds of things you can do, he talks about how you can make that happen. And the other thing, too, is you don't need to have a lot of fancy gear. And that's always been kind of intimidating to me. You look at really nice pictures and you see the people taking them, and they got lenses of 3 feet long and all kinds of things, thousands of dollars. And you figure, there's no way I could take pictures like that. And then he shows you, you really can. And so he takes you through, this is what you can do it with. And if you want to make it a little bit more and do more things with it, then here's other equipment you could purchase. So I've kept a list of nice to haves so that when I put a little money away, then I will buy a certain type of lens, or I'll buy an extra flash or a filter to go on the camera to sharpen things up on a sunny day. Again, the thing I like about the course is after you look at the features of a particular lesson, you go right out, you can use the information right away, and you can see the results. And you don't have to have a lot of fancy camera gear if you don't want to.
Were there any ways that he exceeded your expectations? Because it sounds like he met them.
Yes. One of the things I reflected about that I thought was different than any other course that I've seen is he goes into a little bit more in depth about how things happen. He doesn't just say, okay, this setting will allow you to do this. He goes into a little bit more explanation about why that setting allows you to do this. One example would be there's a thing in photography called white balance. Sunshine provides one kind of light. a fluorescent light provides you with a different kind of light. And you have to understand that a little bit, because when you take a picture of something, if you get it in the sunlight, the color white is going to look a little different than fluorescent bulb. He goes into explanation about why that is and how you can adjust for it so that you get a true picture of a true white color, regardless of what your light source is. Or that idea I was mentioning, the background you can either have blurred, which is favorable if you want to focus in on one subject, like a portrait, or maybe you want the background to be in focus, give you perspective. I have a great, great picture of my son playing soccer, and a picture of him taking a shot at the goal. You can see the goalie, his hands are out, two defenders are next to it, and you can just see this ball is going to go in the net. It looks like he's about 5 feet away from the goalie, but in reality, he was about 30 feet away from the goalie. And you can see in the background, everything is pulled more closely because of the lens I was using. So I was able to achieve this because of some of the information that Ken had talked about. He goes into a little bit more in-depth, a little bit more of the science behind why things are the way they are. And I'm interested in that. It helps me to remember what should I be thinking about when I'm trying to achieve a particular type of picture.